Blog Talk Radio.
I am immortal. I'll never fade away. I'm a legacy that lives beyond, far beyond the grave. I am immortal. I'll never rest in peace. And you're never gonna be, never gonna be, never be.
Out there is listening, real quick, get my promos out of the way.
Terrify Radio has a fan page on Facebook. If you'll go there and like us, you can find out what we're, you know, our programming for every Tuesday night. You can also go to the URN Radio Network fan page, and we do shows 7 days a week right here on the URN Radio Network. We do everything from the paranormal, UFOs, cryptozoology, and everyday life-type topics. So it's not always just paranormal. It's stuff that affects us in day-to-day life as well. We try to mix it up here to have all kinds of aspects to everyday life, including the paranormal. So check us out. Check out the lineup on the URN page. You can check it out here on Blog Talk as well. We also have Twitter, URN Radio. Like, you can join us on Twitter as well. There's always a link there to the show. Got all my promos out of the day. So how was your weekend?
How was my weekend? It went by too fast. It went by too fast. That's all I can say. I blink and I'm ready for next weekend.
Now, you were telling me about an experience that you and your mom had out on y'all's property.
Yeah.
What was that all?
Well, we've had the situation driving down the country road less than a mile from our house. We've seen these two bright eyes. And the weird part is you're driving down the road, you see it. I saw it on the right-hand side, right down this little dip, less than a mile from the house. And my mom saw it on the left-hand side and explained the same exact thing that I saw that I told her about. And she looked at me and said, "No way, Melissa, no way, That didn't happen." I said, "Oh, yes, I saw these red eyes. They were completely circled, and they were about 2 feet off the ground. And then when I was getting closer to it with my headlights, the eyes got bigger. And all of a sudden, it blinked, and it just appeared. But you could see, like, through with your headlights, through the eyes, and it was no body there." And my mom saw the same exact thing, and then she told me about a week ago that she saw the eyes near the barn on our property.
Hmm. Now,
so we're still trying to figure out what these eyes and what they go to. We have no clue.
Have you done any looking into what type of animals are in your region that could possibly have red eyes?
I've looked into that, but when you see these eyes and you don't see a body attached to it, but you just see these two floating red eyes, yeah, that's a little creepy. But it had no body to it. And the eyes get bigger when you drive closer to it, and then they blink and they disappear. But you're close enough to see if it is a body shape of an animal or something, and it's nothing there. Your headlights go through it, and all you see is these red eyeballs. But they're not shiny, shiny red. They're kind of like it's like weird. I don't even think it would actually pick up on your cell phone or anything like that. Because I thought about it, I just kept driving. Because it happens from 11:30 until midnight. You see these eyeballs on the side of the road. And Mom said one day she was coming out of the barn, she actually saw the red eyes on the windowsill of the back of the house. And I'm like, great, was it on the outside or was it inside? Because I was like, that is really scary. I have no clue what it is. I have never seen anything in my life like that before.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes you wonder. It's like, I know there's a lot of things out in this world, and we have no clue what they are. You know, and we see them, and we're like, what is that? And then you try to go online and search for it, and nobody else seems to know what it is either. So it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, I don't want to be out late at night too much. But, yeah, every time I've seen them, it's been around 11:30, 12 o'clock in the morning. So I've talked to a couple of my friends, and they were talking about they would love to come out there and put a camera on the tree and see what we could get. But I don't know if it would actually come up on video.
Well, you could put I have one for when I'm outdoors type investigation, mm-hmm. or if I go with some friends and do some Bigfoot hunting, I got a trap camera, which has got a motion sensor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dennis said he'd love to come out within a week or two and set something up and speak. It's right on a road that cars go by. So I don't know, you know, how much it would pick up on that. Other than taking pictures of cars driving by every day. There's your monster. It's a car. No, it's not.
It's got red headlights.
Yeah, red headlights. Yeah, but they're probably, I mean, they're not, they're a little bit bigger than, I guess you'd be like cat eyes, or maybe about the same size of our eyes, but they're red. And they're not like a deep red or a shiny, shiny red. There's like an in-between kind of color. But it actually watches you. And the closer you get to it, the bigger the eyes get. And then all of a sudden, they close at the same time both eyes do, like a blink. And then it's gone. But, I mean, throughout where we live anyway, in Hanover County, we have had soldiers and all kinds of things die on this land out here. So it's active.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it could be a spirit, you know, and the way it's coming through is just red eyes. But I don't see it as like a bad entity or anything like that. So I don't feel scared by it, but I just feel like it watches you, especially when you're driving down that road. I did mention it to a couple of my neighbors to see what they would say, and they kind of looked at me, and they were like, really? I said, yeah, you try driving down this road around 11:30 midnight in the morning and see if you see them on the right or the left-hand side of the road. And then they kind of got really quiet, and they said, I don't think I'll be getting out of the house around that time frame. I said, okay.
Oh, man. That's nuts. Yeah, I had a good conversation on Sunday's show with our guest, and he made a great point about all the equipment that's out there that people say, okay, yeah, this does this does that, you know, but we haven't really defined what a ghost is, what a spirit is, and what they're made of, right? So how can you build a device that picks up readings from one when you really don't know what it's made of, what it's, you know, scientific-wise, right? And we had a good conversation about that. It makes you think, you know. I know they exist, and, you know, that's no question. But as far as some of the ideals that are in the paranormal, I watched and I'm not going to name drop the name of the show. I mean, if you recognize anybody out there that recognizes what I'm talking about, that's fine. But, the show is a brand new show. It's a paranormal show. It's not on Sci-Fi or that. It's on another, network I have on satellite. The team, you know, it's just like any other paranormal team, but they go in, they do a two-night investigation, they find out where the hot spots are.
Huh? Yeah, I saw that show. Yeah, they're from Tennessee. It was a good show.
Yeah. Well, I everything was good until they said, let's build a device. The first part was they said it in the introduction, and then they said it again. They said, you know, our ultimate thing is we're going to build a device and we're going to catch a ghost. And I'm sitting here thinking, okay, the only ones that ever caught a ghost was in a movie, and that movie was Ghostbusters. That wasn't real. And I know a lot of people that have been in the field a very, very long time, and they're highly scientific about what they do. If anybody knew how to catch a ghost, it would be the people I know. They're well-known in the field. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'll go along with it. and, you know, they built this thing, and they're like, oh, we've got this ghost. We'll have to take it out and release it. And I'm just sitting here going, there's just no way. There is no way. Because there's more to it. A ghost,
yeah.
And we'll even talk about this with our guest tonight. A ghost is a soul. You can't catch a soul. That's not possible. You might be able to drain energy from a ghost, but you can't capture it. You know, but we'll talk about this more. I'm going to go ahead and read our guest profile and talk about her. And she'll be calling in here very shortly. And let me pull her bio up. Here we go. All right. Our guest tonight is Michelle Fitzpatrick. Michelle has been an active paranormal investigator for over 25 years. So, see, that's why I wanted to bring this up to her. She's been in a long time. She is the founder of WITT Paranormal that resigned in 2010. She is now the founder of Kentucky Paranormal Research Team. This team has been together for 4 years now and is still actively researching. They have researched countless locations over the past 4 years and done several residential investigations. The team is known from having a flawless record as far as, you know, residential. Oh, the team is known for having a flawless cleansing record, I should say. I need to back up. Michelle is now a MUFON field investigator and is currently working on cases for them. Michelle is a graduate of ITT Technical Institute with a degree in criminology and forensic science and is currently enrolled in Sullivan University, working towards her next degree in criminal justice and public safety. Michelle is also a clairvoyant who operates a website that does readings as well as a Facebook page that gives its members free annual readings. Michelle has investigated a location that she fully believes is active, functioning soul trap, or as she calls it, a lesser key of Solomon. She was followed home from this location and is dealing with the entity to this date. This is the first time that she has had difficulty ridding a location of an entity, and it turns out to be her own home. So very interesting. And hold on, she just messaged me. She said she's on. I'm trying. Why is my freaking studio? Hang on, Miss Michelle. I got to update my studio. She says she's on, but my studio hasn't updated to show me her phone number so I can bring her on. So we're going to do the old, and Blog Talk has a tendency to do this kind of crazy stuff.
So I have to refresh. With it. That's all it is.
Yeah, I have to refresh. But yeah, I definitely want to talk about that. And you know, I've been followed home as well. And my little buddy is still here. He's not evil. He's not. He doesn't do too much. He does play jokes on me every now and then, hide stuff from me, and then I find it in a different spot.
So do you think yours followed you home through an investigation, or you just picked him up somewhere else?
He followed me home from an investigation, and I'm still trying to refresh, by the way, if everybody's wondering. My Wi-Fi has a tendency to fade in and out because I'm kind of on the outskirts of town. Yeah, that's what happens when you're in the country.
Hey, I'm in the country. What are you talking about? We got cows and horses and all kinds of stuff out here. Bobcats, deer, bears.
Let me try opening
with red eyes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to tell Michelle about that as well when we get her on here.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe this will work. Studio. There's always something. I always have technical difficulties at some point or another on this is what live radio is about. All right, now it's coming up. Let's see. Here, there she is. Now I can bring her on. Now I just got to wait for it. Yep, there you are. Michelle, you there?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, great.
Yay. We found you.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
You sent me a message that you were on. I'm looking at the board and like, oh, no.
Yeah, Blog Talk is famous for its technical difficulties, especially during a retrograde.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm okay. Suffering from a bit of allergies with the weather, 90 one day, 60 the next. So I'm a little sniffly. Just bear with me with that. But other than that, I'm jamming. I'm good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that,
you started
that
snoring, we know you fell asleep.
Yeah, that kind of sounds like us down here in Texas. Melissa's up in Virginia. I'm down here in Texas, and we never know what our weather's going to be from one day to the next.
Right. Right. I hear you.
Starting to get a little cooler here, so not as warm as it has been. Fall's coming in. Trees are starting to get the little color on them.
Yeah. Casper, you'll probably have to kind of be the middle person between Melissa and myself. I can barely hear her.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that was a great intro. Thank you for that. Yeah, I wish I could add author and all these other really cool credentials, and maybe someday. But where would you like to start?
Well, because it always intrigues me. I've been doing radio for a good while, and I love talking to people across the country that are involved in the paranormal, and especially people like yourself that have been in it for a good while, longer than I have. Mm-hmm. I've been in it for about 5 years now. But how did it all start for you? I mentioned in your bio that you're also clairvoyant. Did you at an early age notice that you had some sort of gift?
Oh, absolutely. I believe that we all are born with empathy or empathic abilities or intuition, but through social programming, the majority of us turn it off. I was always, I guess, intrigued with stuff that seemed out of the norm. I was brought up in a very, very religious family, so didn't really have anybody to talk to about it. So I just kind of shut it down, and it wasn't until much, much later that I embraced it, and it has become what it is today. But what got me started in the paranormal was a death. My only sibling had passed away very tragically, and that was what I call my, compelled me on into it full blast. I needed answers. Where do we go when we die? Do we really go to heaven when we die? Do where? Because when we're growing up, we all have our little fears of something in the closet or something under our bed, we all have, well, not all of us, but feeling like you're being watched, so somewhere in our heads at some point, we all kind of wonder about life after death. And then when something tragic happens, we choose what to do, I guess, about it then. And for me, it was to dive right in and get some answers, and I haven't stopped since.
Yeah, and see, I totally agree with you on the fact that everybody's born with it. because kids are very open, and you know, and as we grow older, I have friends that are psychics, and they have children that have gifts as well, you know, and then I have other people that I've had even clients that have called me up and described things that are going on with their child, and I'm like, did you ever stop to think that they might be gifted? Because what you're telling me sounds
absolutely
like, you know, and they were like, I never thought of that, you know, and so when I got into the paranormal, I always refer to it as I was a psychic as a brick prior to that. And once I got involved in the paranormal and went on investigation after investigation, I started noticing things going on in my body where I would get feelings. I would feel like something was in the room. And it just blossomed from there. I actually freaked out, and one of my friends that has gifts, I was talking to her one night on Facebook, and the color red just popped into my head, just red. And I said, are you wearing a red dress? And she goes, how in the hell did you know that? And I said, I don't know. It just popped into my head, you know? So it's just one of those things that, and I've noticed a lot of people in the field, it seems like they shut it off, you know, as they were young. And then when they get in their 30s and 40s, they turn it on, or something happens in their life and it comes back even stronger. But it seems like a lot of people that I've talked to have, you know, started using their abilities in their 30s and 40s, much later in life.
I would agree to that. I think, you know, as we're growing up, we are taught by society and our parents how we're supposed to feel, what we're supposed to believe, and it's not until later in life when we mature that we truly start discovering who we are as individuals instead of what we were told to be. So that would, in my opinion, explain why more so that older people tend to turn it on and embrace it more, you know, because they have a more objective attitude about it. You know, and puberty does play a big role too. You'll find a lot of poltergeist activity surrounding, especially females that are going into puberty, that it will enhance the pituitary gland, gets extremely stimulated, and the belief is that the pituitary gland is the third eye, quote unquote. So everything's getting rewired in the brain. So a lot of, especially females, will either embrace it around that time or shut it off around puberty. I've noticed that as a pretty good pattern.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, sometimes it can be so powerful for a teenager going through puberty that they can actually manifest activity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, poltergeist type activity. Yeah. And I've actually had a couple cases like that. Go ahead, Melissa.
I've also heard, too, like even when us women, we get older and we go through the change of life, we're able to do the same thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with that as well.
I've had one of my friends actually do that. It's quite scary. Move cabinets, you know, open cabinets, make noise. It was crazy.
Yeah, I believe that fully as well. Perimenopausal women, their gifts will enhance them, you know, a little bit more, you know, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm not embarrassed to say this, but I had a full hysterectomy several years ago, and threw me right smack into menopause, and my gifts did enhance around then. That's when I really started working with them. So, yeah, I agree totally with that one.
Yeah, you know, and I've talked to numerous friends of mine that are in the field as well, and always bring up the idea of, you know, we always go out as investigators. We study the paranormal. We study spirit, but there's not too much studying of ourselves, the human element, in a paranormal type situation. I mean, I brought up the point that, you know, we don't really know, science doesn't really know every aspect of what our brain does, you know, all the brain functions. So
absolutely.
What is it to say, yeah, what is it to say, how much does us as people, when we go into these locations, how much do we affect the environment? You know, I truly believe in spirits and all that, but there's also that human factor that can come in, because there has been times where I've done a residential case where it was more of the people in the home and the dysfunction that was going on amongst themselves that was that was kind of spurring everything, you know?
Absolutely. The consciousness does play a role, I believe. When we go into a location, we are tapping in to that ether. The whole time we are calling out, you know, for these entities, spirits, beings, ghosts, whatever everyone wants to call them, we are tapping in to that. We are punching a hole through the veil, so to speak. So, yeah, we are consciously and subconsciously turning on the brain activity, or the parts of the brain that do channel, you know, into those gifts. Some people more than others, and I think that's why some teams get a ton of evidence in a location, and then the team that comes in the following week doesn't get anything. You know, I feel exactly what you just said, that the individual plays a role, you know, in how well they're tuned in.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it has to do with weather, too? Like, if we have rain or storm or it's foggy or the moon or anything like that, takes any effect on if we're going to be able to get anything that day or not?
Absolutely. We have done investigations during thunderstorms. We have done investigations during solar flares or, you know, CMEs. And the activity was tenfold what it would have been any other day. You know, the electromagnetic field of the planet is definitely plays a role in a lot of this. So, you know, it gets charged, it gets electric, and I do believe that these entities are able to manipulate this energy in order to communicate or do whatever it is they're here to do. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think going back to, you know, paranormal teams, my team's investigated same locations as some of the other teams that I'm friends with, and we've gone in there, and I know one location, one team got 30 EVPs, another team got about 40, and we had we threw away 100. We had 250 EVPs, 60 of them were Class A, and they're just like, how in the heck did you get all these EVPs and we didn't? And I said, well, we were ourselves. We didn't come in all, you know, guns a-blazing. We tried to, we had fun. You know, we had fun with them. We caught up, that kind of thing as well. And they just talked. I said, we had one guy that talked, I think we got 35 EVPs of this gentleman talking prior to us even starting the investigation. He was talking to the reporter that was sitting at the DVR, by the DVR. And, you know, they just wanted to talk, and they loved our energy. And I think it's an individual type thing. Ghosts feel your energy. They can see it. They can feel it.
Oh, yeah.
I've worked with people on my team that have gifts, and they can communicate with the other side, and they talk about it with the spirits, and they said, oh, yeah, we can see somebody's aura. We can feel them.
Yep.
We know everything about them. And so they pick and choose who they want to talk to, and it's kind of like real life because, you know, when we're somewhere and you get that creepy vibe of some person talking to you, and you're like, man, I just don't want to talk to this person, you know?
Right. Well, picture it being your house. I mean, if you're, say I was sitting in my home and someone just walked in and started ordering me around, you know, I would probably throw something at them, you know, versus, you know, say, hi, how are you? It's like, well, what are you doing in my house? Get out. You know, and a lot of people tend to catch a lot of get out on EVPs. That's probably one of the top 10 EVPs everybody catches is get out, you know.
Yep,
so, I mean, wouldn't you? You know, this is where they live in whatever dimension they're in, and when the dimensions collide and we're able to communicate, you know, going in all, pardon me, but Zach Bagan-like, you know, is going to do nothing but irritate them, I would think, you know. So, yeah, you're absolutely right by being relaxed and being respectful, number one.
Yeah, and
it makes
and
you wonder, too.
Uh-huh.
It makes you wonder if they see the building from their time frame versus what it is now that we see it as, if they're still stuck in that era that they live life in that building.
I have a small theory about something like that. I was explaining this to someone not that long ago. Picture a piece of land, and you've got a guy in some overalls, and he's plowing his field. Well, to him, he's still plowing that field and will continue to plow that field. Well, they build a Toys R Us on that land, and you've got all the children running down the aisles, gathering up toys, and then in that split instant where the dimensions collide or the veil collides, however, or the veil gets thin, they see each other for a moment. All the man knows is that somebody's on his, there's a bunch of kids running around on his field, you know, and the children, you know, see a man and overhauls with a plow and everybody freaks out. To him, he's still plowing his field, and to the children, they're in a Toys R Us. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I remember there was a book about that. That was pretty neat. I read that story before.
Mm-hmm.
He actually died out in the field, and he didn't realize he was dead. And he's still trying to work on his apple orchard or something. That's what it was. Yeah,
okay.
It was a good story.
So I truly believe in that we create our own reality, and perception plays a key role. So why not in death too? You know, because like you said, the brain, we don't really truly comprehend its power. So, you know, if this soul chooses to not ascend or change energy forms and chooses to continue on in what that soul perceives as the way they were before they passed away, then that's what's going to happen. You know, so they will continue to plow their field or walk the halls looking for their babies or whatever it is they were doing, you know, before they passed. Totally.
Well, we have our other co-host with us. Tasha is now, hopefully. Oh, there she is. Tasha, you're on with us now.
Yes. Hello, 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 world.
Hello.
Hey,
Monica.
Hi. Tasha,
we're
doing. I was going to say, yeah, I pretty much do the same stuff, paranormal. I do psychic stuff. It's crazy. Many, many stories.
Yeah, we're talking with we're talking with Michelle Fitzpatrick. She's in Kentucky as well, and also got a paranormal team, and she's got gifts as well. And we were talking about spirits in general, just to kind of catch you up.
Okay. What part of Kentucky are you from?
I'm in Louisville. Where are you?
Lexington.
Nice.
Very close.
Nice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm in Lawrenceburg all the time. So, the Burger Festival is next weekend, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what everything that goes on around
very
here.
Cool.
Trust me.
Very cool.
All right.
Now,
yeah, you continue.
Because
I kind of called.
Get back
to it. I'm like, okay, what are we talking about?
We were talking about interdimensional collides sometimes, the electromagnetic field a little bit, and about investigative teams going in, guns blazing, I think you said. You know,
yeah, guns blazing.
Kind of touching on. Yeah, just
kind of
touching a little bit this, a little bit
that. Well, you know, and for people like Tasha and yourself, Michelle, you know, you can communicate with the other side, and so, you know, you deal with them. And you know as well as I do, you've got to treat them like they were standing in front of you, you know? And they were once alive, you know? Their soul hasn't changed. They just don't have their physical form anymore. So,
right.
And a lot of people don't
realize
that.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yes, respect is an absolute must. However, they don't always do it in return.
Yeah.
You know, I've tried to schedule readings. I try not to channel until I'm extremely rested because it takes me a couple days to bounce back. But there has been a few times here recently that I really didn't have say-so in it and ended up doing the reading whether I wanted to or not because, you know, they would give me headaches, severe headaches, sometimes nausea until I passed their message along. Which, you know, kind of one-sided, don't you think?
Yeah. I go through that a lot, especially, which she knows, I had to work Scarefest this past weekend in Lexington and had my own booth. And, of course, you know, you get a lot of people that walk by and, you know, hey, this and that, and trying to sell my jewelry, whatever. I immediately, one night I had to leave early because I got so sick in my stomach. I felt just like a bunch of evil just around me. I had to go, like, I'm out. And I missed out almost 3 hours, but still. And then I came back the next day. I was having chest pains real bad, which I do sometimes, but not like that. And it's not like a panic attack. I was feeling something. And when I walked in, I don't know if you, have you ever heard of Tri-State Paranormal? They're based out of Northern Kentucky. They've been
I'm pretty sure I have, because they're like in between, the reason they call themselves Tri-State is because they can access Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio, correct? Like, they're right there, boom, in the middle. I'm pretty sure I've heard of them,
And actually, one of them's wife works with them, and she's more of a psychic and empath. And she said, girl, last night I had to go home the same way. I was so sick, and it wasn't, you know, from anything else she was doing. But she said, I'll just sit here, and I watched people and the way they were talking to me. I was like, I did the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. We have to keep our protection so thick.
Exactly.
It even gets to the point to where a lot of us just refuse to be around crowds. You know, I very seldom go to any kind of public functions, you know, simply for that reason. And then when I do, I am so guarded with, I've got herbs in my pockets, herbs in my paw, herbs around my neck. You know, everything that I can put on, you know, plus what I call my bubble, which is kind of like an energy field. I try to reflect all that emotional stuff that comes at you from the people. You know, I try to reflect it back to them so it goes around me and not through me, which is really hard to do all the time. You know, we have our weak moments, you know, emotionally and physically where we're just exhausted already, and it's really hard to keep that force field, for lack of a better terminology, up.
Yeah.
You know, so we are always under attack. Always.
Thank you. Okay, I thought I was the only one. All right. I mean, like, I can actually, like, go out to a grocery store, take my daughter out to a birthday party, and all this stuff, I can start picking up, and I'm like, oh, God. Uh-oh. It's just... like we were talking this weekend, her name's Elena Maggard. She's married to Chris Maggard, and he's been on a lot of these Ghost Adventure shows, whatever, but still. And she said, girl, I pick up on it. I can't even go out to the pool anymore without picking up other people's stuff. I get it.
Yeah.
And it sucks. Yeah. It's more like she said, it's a gift in one way, but then it's kind of like a curse because you can't live your own life.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. And no, I mean, there are times. I mean, you know, if you enhance your meditation, you stay grounded, you do the chakra cleansing, and all the spiritual stuff that we're taught to do. If you really embrace it and do it, it helps tremendously. Mm-hmm. I actually have implanted, not literally, psychically, a figurative light switch, just like the ones that are on the wall. And I have, I guess, trained my mind that when it gets too rough, I picture that light switch and I turn it off. And literally, I shut it all down. And I kind of am perceived by others as just disconnected completely. But, you know, you have to. You have to protect yourself. And if disconnecting is what you have to do, is what you have to do.
Yeah.
It is. Sometimes it is a curse. But that does help if you want to.
Yeah. It's hard. Trust me.
Now,
yeah, I know.
I know Melissa, you said, because Melissa also has some gifts, and Melissa, you were saying you were suffering from a lot of headaches.
Yes, I was. I was suffering from headaches to the point where the side temple part, but I would just have to lay there because they just hurt so bad. And sometimes
that's funny you bring that up. I literally just 3 days ago put a post in the room I'm in. And we were discussing how people who have chronic migraines tend to have psychic abilities. And
yes.
I haven't really researched it enough yet to truly comment on it, but I found that very interesting, and you just straight validated that for me just now. So, once again, we have another headache-type syndrome that seems to be a symptom of psychic abilities, so... But please continue.
Yeah,
I'm very interested.
I can totally agree with that myself, because I've been doing this pretty much since when I was a child. I was diagnosed with migraines when I was 16 years old. I was finally diagnosed. Nobody believed me for like 3 years when I started getting them. Yeah, and I still get them. To the point where some days I don't want to get out of bed. I'm like, can I just lay in the dark? Seriously,
right.
Leave me alone.
Right. I hear you.
It kind of comes with it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
I'm sorry if I did. When you have thunderstorms and stuff outside, or when you change the weather changes and stuff, you can feel it coming on. The energy level in your head starts hurting, and you can feel the spirits more too, because the weather's changing, a storm's coming in, it's getting active, and it's almost like you can feel like electricity in the air, and then your head's about to pop too on top of that, so your headache doesn't seem like help.
I mean, even the smallest of insect life can detect the barometric pressure dropping in the atmosphere. You can look at a tree and the leaves, how they are normally on a sunny day. Watch when it starts to get overcast. They will fold under. Look around. So a tree responds. So we do too.
I've noticed that too. Like when rain's coming, the leaves flip like up. So it's ready for the rain to hit the leaves on the tree. So I always say that, and people are like, you're crazy. I said, look at the trees. They're starting to flip. It's going to rain within a couple hours of rain. And they're like, it's a country thing.
Headaches, I, in my opinion, are definitely a physical response to the changes in the electromagnetic field of the planet or your area where you're in, the electricity. Yeah, I definitely think that is very, very plausible and possible. Absolutely.
And I've also noticed like an increase in anxiety too. And some of my friends that have anxiety problems and stuff like that, they're sensitive too.
Yeah, I agree. It takes a while, and a lot of practice. So just whatever it is y'all are doing, just keep doing it and keep that protection up, and it'll get better.
Do you think stones and crystals would help too for protection or
concern?
Like stones and crystals and stuff like that.
Crystals, I do swear by crystals. I've been on my feet a lot lately, and I'll take my smoky quartz, and it's a large smoky quartz, and it's shaped like long and has a point on the end. I will put that down on the floor and put both of my feet on it, and my foot pain will go away. Yeah, I swear by crystals as far as using them for ailments, healing, protection, any kind of aid. You know, they're crystalline, and crystalline properties are all through this planet. We are, you know, and we have the same properties within us too. So, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Our crystalline. I'm tomato, tomato, crystalline, crystalline.
Now, another interesting thing that you had in your bio was, you know, you talk about your team, and you have great success with cleansing homes, but yourself, you came across a location that the entity or whatever it is that's there followed you home, and you're still having trouble ridding yourself of this.
Yeah. We went to this location a total of 5 times last year. The last investigation was on Halloween, and we haven't been back. And still trying to work the nerve up to go back. But we're getting such good evidence. I mean, just like you were saying, you know, I've got thousands of EVPs. There are multiple layers in this place. But it wasn't until one of my team members who has studied a lot of demonology pointed out some of the symbols that were around the door frames. And this house is shaped very peculiar in the first place. If you look at it from an aerial view, look down on it, it's shaped kind of like a Celtic cross. Then we started putting some more pieces together. The way the rooms, it's like the rooms are all in, all the doors are in corners, all the windows are in corners. The bedrooms are in the kind of like the corner of each of section of the home, and she was pointing out some of the symbols, and I had never really studied any of this prior to this, so she was like, you know, I recognize this, you know, and we had caught some EVPs that night that were extremely disturbing. A lot of the EVPs we had caught prior felt like warnings, you know, run, hide, they're coming. Don't be so loud. They were telling us to keep our voice down. You know, we didn't really know it at the time until we did our reviews. But, mm-hmm. you know, stuff moves. All the door slammed. The door slammed on one of my investigators, and he ended up in the hospital with an injured thumb. And this door was held back by probably a 10-pound rock easily. All the doors have to be held open. The floor vibrates. Oh, it's just a really – It is now number one of my all-time list, and it is, it's not really well-known. It's becoming well-known due to a lot of people that have investigated it and have had really great results. But I don't think, I've only talked to a few of the investigators about my theories, and they were kind of like me and didn't really understand about any of this conjuring via Solomon stuff. And it wasn't until after I researched it a little bit that I truly, all the pieces started to fall into place. The porch of this house is facing the north. There's a lot of celestial alignments that the house matches, and it also faces the cemetery. So we were kind of toying around with the thought of, well, maybe this is a highway portal kind of thing, you know, because the owner of the home was telling us that everyone who is buried in that cemetery ends up getting caught on EVP. In the house, and we've also mm-hmm. verified that. Yeah, so you know, it seemed like every time we would go, we would catch new names, and you know, some of the standard questions are, you know, well, can you tell me how you died? You know, and we would catch stuff like I was murdered. We would ask, when did you die? You know, and they would say 2 days ago. You know, so we were like, why are these people who never even lived in the house ending up in this house? You know, it's just really, really bizarre. So I had a really bad premonition about going to this location, and me and my team had called it off. And my co-founder, lead investigator, ended up having to have a little bit of eye surgery, so he couldn't go. So then the other investigator, the one who's familiar with demonology, was kind of like, let's go, it's Halloween, let's go test some of the theories that we have, you know, about the veil and the whole 3 a.m. stuff and, you know, all of that. And I was like, okay, fine, because it's a 3.5-hour drive one way. So we ended up going anyway, and everything about this place was different. You know how when you walk in and you feel anxious, you feel nervous, you can tell they're there? Well, this felt totally different. It felt light, it felt calm, and it felt peaceful. And I was like, we're probably not going to get anything tonight, you know. And boy, was I wrong. We were getting stuff the whole time, but the whole atmosphere within this home it's an abandoned home. Was just, I don't even know really how to put words to it, as far as just how different it felt. And we ended up catching on video what we believe could possibly be a creeper, which I had never caught on video before. I've heard about them, you know, but as far as, like, really seeing, you know, you see shadows when you're in these locations, of course, and you think, oh, that's crawling along the ceiling. But we actually caught footage of this mass in between the window and the ceiling, and about every so many seconds, this long arm with a claw would drop down.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, okay, you know, we started getting a little nervous. So then we were seeing stuff in our video cameras, but we couldn't see it with our eyes. So it would be like we'd look at the video, look up, you know, we'd see it in the video, look up, and we couldn't see it. So we were catching stuff, but I don't know. Anyway, we ended up running out of the location at about 3:10 a.m. because all we could see were red eyes, and that truly was the first time that I had literally seen red eyes with my own eyes. And this place is pitch black in there.
I was
going to
say, I
have
too.
I've seen red eyes.
Yeah. And
what
that
do you
was
call
not,
that?
Like, I had in my own house. Have anybody heard of Bobby Mackey's?
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
No? Of course. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's where I've seen them at.
Okay.
Not
cool. Yeah.
Well, and I was not the only one that was told, like, eight other people that we didn't actually have it on. We tried to get it on tape, but when you, like, focused in on it, it was like just a little black dot. But we seen the red glowing. I took off. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it is very, very unnerving when you see that. I mean, I've heard other people say they've seen them, but I personally had never seen them till this night, literally, like right there. And they were popping up everywhere, you know, and that's when that panic kicked in. And what's so funny about this team is I've been doing this for so long that I'm normally the one that's all cool, calm, and collective, you know, telling everybody else to calm down. I ran out with my tripod still open and couldn't get them through the door.
No.
And it was really frightening. So then we get in the car, and she's taking pictures, and we caught a photo. I should have got some of the stuff together to send you guys so you could see for yourself what I'm talking about. We caught something kind of like, this thing was coming out of the house towards us in the car, and I'm squealing tires trying to get out. And so then the GPS led us to a cornfield and was trying to take us into a cornfield. So we turned off all the electronics. We didn't even have the radio on. We were like, let's just get home. And it was, I slept for about 3 days. After that, and it wasn't until November 11th that something happened to me. This is one of the reasons I joined MUFON. I had lost time and was given a bunch of information that I still don't truly understand. I wrote it all down and trying to work through it, you know, as I go. But, yeah, so the whole losing time thing really freaked me out because, you know, I'm a criminology forensics major and, you know, so, you know, for this to happen to me, who, even though I'm empathic and to some degree clairvoyant, I always keep one foot in and one foot out. You know, I always keep one foot in this realm. So in order to function, we have to, you know, stay as sane as we possibly can. So this was really disturbing for me. And it wasn't until a few days later that I was sitting here on the computer and I looked out my window and there was a mass. It looked like a male standing. I live in a condo on the second floor. And he was in the parking lot just staring at me. So I was like, who is out there, you know? So I got up, walked towards my sliding glass door, and it vanished. This went on for 2-4 hours. Finally, I was just like, okay, I'm tripping, whatever, you know. I've talked to some people about it, and their advice to me was it could be a watcher. Now, I wasn't at that point real familiar with the whole demon thing. And then later on, that's when stuff started moving in here. And I literally saw my disconnected DVD player move across my floor by itself. And that was when I got angry, you know, because we have a 100% cleansing record. You know, we've done a lot of residential cases, and we do a bunch of different techniques in our home cleansings, and they've all worked. Every client that I've spoken to since has had zero activity. So I'm, you know, this is by far not a bragging thing. It's just like, okay, so what am I doing different? You know, I don't know, because I've done everything that I've done in these homes in this house, because after that stuff, oh, and my cat started urinating on everything. Which to me was a sign, yeah, that she sensed something was here. As a matter of fact, I was in class and I couldn't concentrate on class, and I was just kind of tapping my pen, and I thought, you know what? No, I'm not having this. We need one place in the world where we can escape. And in my opinion, my home is that place. So to me, I was feeling very, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like when a violated is the word, you know, very violated. How dare you come in here? You know, I've got selenite over my door frames. You know, I use the salt. I use the brick dust. I use all that. And this thing still got in. So ended up doing some EVP sessions. They were all very heinous, very negative, and very, very ugly. And I was like, okay, it's time to do something, you know, and did a cleansing and instantly the temperature rose in here. I started pouring sweat. You know, not only was stuff moving, but I was starting to feel oppressed, depressed, having angry moments, because I'm normally very, very passive and easygoing, and I was feeling enraged. So I was consciously aware that this stuff was going on, and I was trying very hard to maintain my composure in every sense of the form. And so I knew I had to do something about it, you know. Go ahead.
Pretty much, I mean, I know I've brought this up on earlier shows before. I'm in a new place now, but the place I lived at before, that place is no joke. Okay, so we had one suicide happen in there 2 months before I moved in, and then there was already 4 other people in this apartment building that had died within the past year. And I'm a little psychic and sensitive. I pick up on this stuff, you know. It was for a couple of years until Miss Tasha broke the holy water home and the white sage, and I brought the demons out, and it stopped. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like exorcism shit.
Right.
No joke.
Right. I feel you. I feel you. That's how I was in here, too. Yeah. Black salt, the whole nine. Tar. I even made tar water and war water. You know, I was doing everything that I knew in my arsenal to do. I even had a friend give me a knife that was blessed by a person who practices Sumerian, a Sumerian religion. you know, and I went through here slicing and dicing every bit of air that existed, everything. And instantly the temperature rose. I broke out in sweat, and I felt better. I was like, okay, I did it. Woo-woo, right? No, no,
well,
I thought I did.
Well, the only way I felt better
everything
from
was very
that part, I had to move. I mean, there was something
mm-hmm.
that told me to move. And the day that I actually, the last time I walked out that door, and I'm like, sayonara, instantly I just felt better.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
You stay home.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, and there's still stuff. I'm in the process right now of one of my team members recommended something, and I think it's a very good idea. I'm kind of the one, not really that runs the show, but usually has great input on how we do the cleansings and how we do everything. So she was mm-hmm. like, Michelle, man, you need to let somebody come in and do this. You need to sit your butt on the couch. You need to meditate. You need to go to that astral plane, and you need to do battle with it there and let us handle the home and do what you've trained us to do. And so we're working on that right now because that's, you know, it's got to stop. I'm still having activity. I'm still having oppressed moments, you know, and I, for the most part, I can keep it tuned off and, you know, I'll even giggle, like, when the lights come on by themselves and say thank you, you know. And
you know, it's kind of funny. I do
enough.
The same thing.
Yeah. So,
I have a question.
Yeah, there was one that I was,
Then I have a question. Out where I live, we've been seeing red eyes mm-hmm. on the side of the road. And they're not too bright eyes. They're, like, in between. And they're about 2 feet off the ground. I've seen them on the right side of the road. My mom's seen them on the left side of the road. And she's actually seen them out here on the farm, too. And what it is, as soon as your car lights hit them, you can see right through them. It's no body there. All you see is these two eyes looking at you. And the closer you get to these eyes, the bigger they get. And all of a sudden, they blink, and they shut, and they're gone.
Gone.
Ooh, okay. Well, you know, of course, from you know, an investigative point of view, you would automatically want to know about animals and, you know, try to debunk all that first. But, yeah.
There's no body.
Yeah, most animals don't glow red, though, so that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this ultimately, all of this has led me to the interest in MUFON, and that's one of the main reasons that that I became an investigator with MUFON. I am finding out slowly but surely that I think, and this is just my opinion, okay, and yes, I'm going to say it. I've said it to everybody. Everybody that knows me knows that this is how I feel. I don't think that everything we come in contact with is a dead person, or an interdimensional being. I think that some of these things are not of this world, as you know. So I'm hoping to learn more about that.
Well, you know, my co-host that prior to Melissa and Tasha that had been on the show for a good while, good friend of mine, she's a paranormal investigator, and she started going to MUFON meetings.
Mm-hmm.
in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
Missouri. And
mm-hmm. The
same kind of thing, because she was having time lapse. And
yeah.
She did her research and talked to me and some of, because I've had a lot of, I don't like to brag about it because it's not something I like, but it just seems like that's kind of like it's kind of like my calling. When I get client calls, they're usually of the more evil type, whether it's a malevolent spirit or inhuman spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I deal with all the assholes that torment people.
Right.
But
amen.
Yeah, and so talking with her, and we had these discussions on air before, that if you go and you read about abduction cases, and then you
mm-hmm.
compare them to cases that have been well documented that are demonic. There are a lot,
mm-hmm.
a lot of similarities
yeah.
in the two.
There are.
And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and so there's that question there of, okay, now we're on to something. Why are these two, you know, they're two, in a way, if you look at it from afar, you have aliens and you have demonic forces. Why are they similar? So, yeah,
it
that's what got
well
her
the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My mom's been reading a book right now, and it really freaked me out. It's a brand new book. It was made in, like, 2014. And it's talking about how people are just going to random parks, state parks, just parks, and all of a sudden they just disappear, and they never find them again.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's scary. The person is running down the trail, go around the curve, and they're gone. Or somebody's riding their bike, and all of a sudden they go around the curve, and the bike's still there, and the wheels are spinning, but the person's not there no more. And they never find them.
Right.
Never find them.
You know, and I had this discussion Sunday with our guests on my other radio show, you know, and I brought up the point that science has proven so far that there are 14 different dimensions. And, you know, I'm wondering if some of the activity that goes on may not necessarily be a spirit, that it's a cross where our two, you know, the veil has gotten thin.
There you go.
And the crossing of two dimensions happened, and that's what you're getting. You know, because I've blown people's minds.
I do know. Let me throw something in there. You're exactly definitely onto something there. A lot of people are beginning. A lot of researchers are beginning to believe that that's exactly what happens when we have a Bigfoot sighting or a Loch Ness monster or, you know, things that aren't normally seen. It is a dimensional collide, so to speak, to where they cross for just a moment. You know, and, you know, quantum physics is very huge in all this. Yeah. So please continue. I just wanted to validate you. You guys are really onto something. Yeah.
Well, see, I brought that up when it comes to Bigfoot sightings because of the, you know, and I do have, I have good friends that are very well-known cryptozoologists in the field, and, they get footprints and this, that, and other, and they're well convinced that it's a living, breathing, you know, animal creature. But at the same time, I always ask them, I said, when you have Bigfoot sightings, do you have any kind of paranormal activity as well? And they said, yes, we'll have lights that appear out in the woods that have no source because they're way out. There's no houses or anything. You know, some of them are in state parks.
And if you look at the reported UFO sightings and you look at the correlation between Bigfoot sightings and UFO sightings, they're usually right next to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I bring that up a lot of the time with my Bigfoot buddies is the fact that maybe that's the reason you haven't found the body, you know, because these things cross in and out. And I said, why do you think with the UFOs, they cross in and out, you know? Boom, they're in our dimension, and then boom, they're gone. Just like reports say, in a site, 1 minute that saucer's there, and the next minute it's gone, right? And we know it for a fact in the paranormal field on the spirit side. In order for them to move something physically in our dimension, where we're at, they have to cross over somehow or another. They have to cross over in this dimension in order to make things physically happen.
Right,
now,
and they can't. They don't have a hand. They don't have a body. So it has to be through some form of, telekinesis? That's the one where you do stuff with your mind. You know, so it is them manipulating the energy almost kind of like Neo in the Matrix, so to speak. You know, when they would go in and out of the virtual whatever, you know, they were doing it all with their mind, and if they died in the Matrix, they really died, remember?
Yeah.
I know that was way out there.
Have
you ever heard of Lloyd Pye?
Of who?
There is a man who's passed away. His name is Lloyd Pye. He is a he's renowned for his research on human evolution. And it's LLOIDPYE, Lloyd Pye. I totally recommend you guys watch some of this stuff. He believes that we were engineered. Basically, the whole ancient alien theory comes into play here. He believes that that we were engineered into what we are today, and that if humans or our species were to have been left alone, then we would Sasquatch is what we would have totally evolved into. That Sasquatch right. is the result of our human evolution. But that we
right.
we were altered genetically. Yeah. It's
oh,
amazing
yeah.
stuff to watch. It really is. It'll really get you thinking. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and for people out there that, you know, have religious beliefs, whatever they may be, you know, they worship mm-hmm. God or whoever they may call God. But even in that, you know, we're taught with the Bible and everything else that God created us and whatnot. Well, if he did,
mm-hmm.
okay, do you actually
mm-hmm.
think
mm-hmm.
in the billions of stars out there that we're the only one?
I think it's very pompous, arrogant, and ignorant.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there and I've even heard, and it makes you think. I had a guest one time, you know, this is what they thought. It's not necessarily what I think, but it made me think about things. His point was, what if, and he's a UFO researcher, and we were talking
mm-hmm.
about things on the show, and what he said was, what if the alien encounters, the aliens that we're talking about, the reason that we get, that people get probed and, you know, examined and this, that,
mm-hmm.
and other when they're abducted, that it's demonic in a sense of it's demon. It's the demonic side trying to understand how to overcome humans. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
mm-hmm.
whole struggle between Satan and God, that whole battle, and
mm-hmm.
that we have free will and they don't. And I was like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I never thought of that in that way. You know, what if Satan had created another being, an alien, right, another society, and that's what these people are having experiences in? It's just food for thought. You never know, you know, because us as
yeah.
humans, we don't know what's going on.
I know, and everyone has their own perception, you know, of the way things are, and we all live in basically a reality that we create. And if people, you know, choose to believe the Bible and incorporate, you know, their answers for things through that, more power to them. You know, however, you know, my whole issue with all of that is that, you know, we have been on this planet for millions, if not billions of years. The Bible's
mm-hmm.
a little over 2,000 years old. Okay, so
right.
to me, that's just not good enough evidence to explain
right.
everything that happened before the Bible. You know,
right.
To really learn, you got to study Sumerian culture. You know, actually, the Old Testament is a pretty good diagram of our history, and I would totally recommend. It's a, you know, the Book of Enoch and
yeah.
the books that were
the Book of Enoch,
you know left out of the Bible, you know, for their reasons, but we won't go there.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so there's just so much more to this picture than God or demons from
oh,
a scientific
yeah.
standpoint, and I have a very scientific mind, so that's hard
yeah.
for me to grasp. But I mean, my new mantra is: if it's not impossible, it's possible. So I have to include
yeah.
that too. It's possible.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why I said, and I brought it up, is because it's not necessarily anything I believe. It's just the fact of opening my mind to
yeah.
all kinds of possibilities. Because
mm-hmm.
you know, us as humans, we kind of have, in most of us, not all, but a lot of the way our human intellect is, we kind of have a narrow-minded way of thinking a lot of times. That's just part of human nature. And people in the paranormal
field. What we're conditioned
field,
to. It's what we're taught.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not taught the answers, we're left to figure them out on our own. You know, our own government won't tell us. No, you know, people won't tell us. So that's why, you know, another reason we do what we do, because we can't just go knock on the White House door and say, can you please tell me what's going on? You know, so they deny everything, you know, so we basically risk our lives and our sanity every time we step foot in somewhere, you know, and risk attachments and all kinds of other things, you know, because the society as a whole, this whole world is waking up. We are in, have you heard of the awakening or the global shift or any of this consciousness stuff? I truly, truly believe that that is happening. We are advancing. We are evolving. And there's just too much evidence out there, you know, to say that this is not happening. Too many people are starting to ask questions, you know, and I love it. About time.
You know, I know that you've been around the paranormal a lot, and Tasha as well, and Melissa. And, you know, I think there's a shift going on in the paranormal field as well, because the shows have kind of faded down. Now I have watched we got to talk about that. I'm glad I brought that up, because it just, me and Melissa were talking about this prior to you coming on, and I wanted to mention it to you and get your opinion on it, but we'll go into it in a minute. But as far as the shift, the paranormal shows have kind of weaned themselves out. You know, they're not as
This happens, you know, about every 10 years. You'll get a slew of shows, and the interest will be huge, and then people start getting bored with it, and then the shows go away, and then 10 years later, more shows, and they milk it for all it's worth, and then they go away, you know, because people who truly are in it for the right reasons are in it for the long haul. You'll get all these bye-bye-night teams that come in and do their thing. They're in it for the adrenaline. They're in it to be cool, or they think they're being cool. And, you know, they're in it for all the wrong reasons. It's the diehard ones, you know, that are seriously doing research and trying to explain and get answers that have been doing it for well over 20 years.
And
what I'm loving is all this new equipment. We didn't have this stuff when I first started out. You know, we were lucky on our old analog tapes. And we didn't have any of this enhancing software, you know, like Adobe or Audition. We didn't have that stuff back then. So, you know, we basically had to try to validate each other through personal experience, you know. So it really has come a long way. And now I really believe that the ones who are doing it now and investigating for the right reasons are paving the way sincerely for the future. Honestly believe that we will have answers very, very soon. We will have
answers. You know, and we were talking about this on my other show, and, you know, if you look at it like this, when you're, whether you're a psychic medium, a paranormal investigator, or whatever your involvement is in the paranormal field, if you look at all the people that way before us that were doing this, you know, like Hans Holzer, the Warrens, those type of people that just put in hours upon hours of research and helping people and dedicated their lives to this field, and they kind of, per se, when they pass away or they get out of the field, they kind of pass the torch on to the people that are currently in the field. And you got to think about them and the fact of all the stuff that they contributed and where we're at now because of some of the things they did. It's our duty, if we're in it, it's our duty to carry that torch on and per se, make them proud.
Yeah, pay it forward. You know? That's the only way. I mean, that's kind of like the man who spent 40 years developing, let's say, a cure for smallpox. You know, he didn't take his research with him when he passed away. He left it for the other smallpox researchers to continue, you know, to find that vaccine. You know, and that we're doing the same thing. You know, I'm really proud of a lot of the investigators we do have out there right now. Not so much the TV ones, but, you know, I've been fortunate to meet a lot of really good people who are in it for all the right reasons. And it's going to be those people that help the next generation have these breakthroughs that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So, absolutely, 100%. The Warrens, all of them, paved the way for us, and now we're paving the way for 20 years from now.
Yeah, and that's when I was talking about with the shift, not only with the shows, but I have noticed that the fly-by-night paranormal teams are starting to fade away, and you're left with the real dedicated people out there, like yourself, Tasha, that does readings and tries to help people, you know, and even Melissa trying to understand her gifts. You got those type of people now instead of the ones that are trying to get the latest and greatest TV show. Now that the shows are fading out, those groups that wanted a show are like, well, shit, now I got to figure out something else to do. You know, so now going back to the – and Tasha, you didn't hear this conversation, so chime in as well with your opinion. Melissa knows what I'm talking about. I'm not going to name drop the show because it's new, but – The show started a couple of weeks ago or a week ago or whatever it was, and a buddy of mine in the field goes, hey, check out this show. So I watched it, you know, and it's just like any other show you watch. You got a paranormal team. They go in. They investigate for two nights to try to find a hot spot. Now, the twist is, the twist on this, I laughed, and at the same time, I was pissed. I had a lot of emotions when they brought this up. They said, okay, we found the hot spot. Now we're going to build a device to catch a ghost. And I was
going
to
build a what?
Oh, yeah. Check this out.
What did you say? Going to build a what to catch the ghost?
They're going to build a device, a contraption.
Oh,
depending on where they're at.
Yeah,
they're going to build a device that's going to catch a ghost. Now, when I heard this, I was like, okay, the only time I've seen a ghost being caught was in the movie Ghostbusters, and that was fake. Good movie,
right.
But that was fake. So all the people that are
here. The only thing I'm going to say, you can catch, like, I call them spirits. Don't call them ghosts. I get offended by that. Anyway.
Yeah.
You can catch them maybe on film, maybe. But it's more EVPs, and when I walk into places, it's more feeling, because I'm psychic. I know what's going on. I'm like, duh. I just walk into places, but it just trips me out, like how these people just make these TV shows out, and, you know, we can go back into Zach Bacon's. Oh, by the way, he got banned from Scarefest because he was a dick last year. Excuse my language. He pissed everybody off. Anyway, have you guys heard of Chris Stedman?
Yes.
Yeah, he's on the list. He was next to my Scarefest booth this year, and me and him, we got to talking about, you know, doing a little pitch for a show. And it was, you know, I know he's a demonologist. And I'm more psychic, but I'm very spiritual with it. And we can go in there maybe for like an hour and just walk around. We don't have to have cameras. And we can feel it. And then the pitch of our show is to help these families out, not just go in there and film and be like, oh, look around there. Oh, I got an EVP.
Yeah. Did you hear that? Did you see that?
Anybody can see that, and that's what really pisses me off about these shows.
Yeah.
I want to go in there and help people, too.
I appreciate that they're raising awareness, and that's the only thing about these shows that I appreciate, okay? But they do not talk about protection. They do not talk about, you know, what happens after you leave a location. It's all sensationalism, and I don't know that I believe half the stuff they put up there as evidence. You know, there's these kids, you know, going to these locations and getting hurt. And in my opinion, they should be held accountable. You know, it's all fun and games. No, it's not. It's very serious.
No.
You know, I always said if they could do a show, they do a show where it's after the fact of you investigating and the process that either whether you're a psychic or you're a paranormal team, the process of what the team goes through to actually help that family, the cleansing process, the whole the counseling, the interview process, all of that is what we do on a regular basis.
It takes weeks. You have to be not only a paranormal investigator, but you have to be a psychiatrist. You know, you have to rule out all this. You know, you have to, this whole interview process isn't, I mean, it is learning about their experiences, but it's also to check them out and make sure that they're credible. You know, and it's weeks. We interview our cases for literally weeks. That the clients will get upset that we just don't come in with all our fancy equipment, load it up, lock it, bam, 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 show them the evidence and throw some holy water around and leave. No.
Yeah.
That's not how things go. You know, you've got to first find out what you're dealing with in order to treat it, you know, or to attempt to get rid of it. Or, you know, you just can't walk in there and video some stuff and, that is, you're bringing up a very valid point.
Demons, come out. I mean, no, that ain't the way it works. Sorry, Zach.
Yeah, and we know that because we do it. These people who watch these shows aren't out there doing it, and they're gullible, and they're, you know, and when I say ignorant, I'm using it for the true meaning of the word. They just don't know any better, you know, so they're right there watching the show, getting the adrenaline rush, you know, and getting all creeped out, and then they hear things all night because they watch the show, you know.
Exactly.
It is really frustrating for those of us out there watching these shows. I don't even watch them anymore. Like this new show you're talking about, I haven't seen it yet. I don't have. It's just kind of like I'm done with that. You know.
The kicker. See, I just watch them a lot of times for the location per se because I'm such a historic person, and when they talk about a location, this, that, and other. Yeah, I just log them into my head or put it on my bucket list. So I watch it for that.
Yeah.
I don't watch it for what the hell they're doing, right?
See, we do the exact opposite. We like to go into a location completely blind. We don't want to know anything about it. And that way, when we do fact our evidence, we can compare it to the historical records or whatever went on with that location, and that in itself validates our evidence because we knew because you know there is a possibility that you could project some of these names, you could manifest with your own thoughts activities. So in order to try to keep that to a minimum,
can I throw out one random question just real quick about one thing? Okay.
Please.
The show, The Dead Files on the Travel Channel, Amy Allen, and I can't say his last name, but whatever. Okay, so Amy came down to the therapist this weekend. She's staying all night and looking normal, but do you actually believe what she's doing on the show, or?
Yeah, it's so funny you're asking me this because on my page, Lady Meridian, we must be pinging a little bit, you and me. I literally just asked, I think it was two, maybe 3 days ago, on my page, I wanted feedback from the people who pay attention to my page, if they believed, you know, because she never gets anything wrong. She always goes outside you know, instead of helping these people herself, you know, she always tells them to get a shaman or a priest or a Wiccan or whatever, you know, to come in and do it, you know. So she basically comes in, gives her whatever, and it's always right, and her sketches are always spot on. So, you know, I'm on the fence with Amy Allen. I feel that she is gifted, but because of TV, I think they edit out.
Always comes back to TV.
You know, a lot of the stuff that she didn't get right, and it makes her look like she's all knowing, all seeing guru. And no,
but
I have yet
have
to meet a psychic that gets it right every time. I'm sorry.
Every time I watch her show, she's walking around with her eyes all big and like, ah. And I'm like, wait
yeah,
a minute.
Making faces and
looking just fine. She is.
Yeah.
That's
really funny
that
you asked me that. You're thinking the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, now a lot of her techniques I concur with. You know, a lot of the techniques she'll tell the clients to use, you know, in order to seal a portal or something, you know, I've done myself. And have had great success with it. So I do believe, you know, that she's good on her advice, but, you know,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think she plays into their fear and plays into their, to make a good show. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, she could be the real deal. Who knows?
Right. Well, and to comment on that as well, with all you girls here, you know, when you do readings, I guarantee you every one of you have not been just 100% on the money all the time. You know, that's just part of we're human, you know, and even the most gifted people out there that have psychic abilities, they get things wrong. And so,
and not only that, but whoever is coming in or coming through may and is giving you the information, let me speak for myself. I see flash images. I don't necessarily get a voice in my head telling me things. I will flash images of things, and I am left to kind of translate that to whoever I'm reading for. And I've had a couple times where the information I was giving one person was meant for someone else, you know. But so, yeah, how can we be right 100% of the time when this spirit or whatever, we can't even see them, you know, or I can't, you know. You know, I have to do my best with what I'm being given and, you know. So, no, I have yet to meet anyone who has been 100%. I would like to meet one, though, because I have a lot of questions.
and the last thing I wanted to talk about with that the show I was talking about that you guys will probably find comical, when they built the contraption, they built it on site, right? This is not something that they tested, you know, numerous times, just like my friends that build equipment for the paranormal field. They build it on site, and they actually went to, like, a junkyard, got some stuff. They got some solar panels and put the solar panels on, and the whole premise was they were going to charge this fence with an electromagnetic field, attract the spirit.
Right.
The solar panel would suck the energy out of the spirit into this small capacitor, and that's where they were holding the spirit energy.
Like
and then they
in a bottle, sort of.
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly what it was. And then they went back to where, you know, headquarters or whatever, and they put this capacitor in a Faraday cage. They put it in a Faraday cage, and we're trying to do readings at around it and seeing if the spirit was still in there. And then they were talking about, we'll just release the spirit in another area. And I'm just sitting here going, they're putting this crap on TV, and it makes
is it a bear? Are they going to release back into the wild?
Yeah,
it was quite funny.
He's like, I think we lost it.
Yeah.
He's like, I think we lost the spirit was in there, but I think on the way of the drive back to the base, we lost the spirit.
Hey, send me through private message the name of the show so I can check that out. I need to go back. Yeah.
It's so funny.
If you need a good laugh, definitely check the show out.
Okay.
Oh,
from Tennessee.
Wow,
so.
Yeah, I think I've heard it all now. You know, and that very well may be possible, you know, because everything's possible. But I would think more people would have heard of it. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
See, I'm gonna have to get my friend David Roundtree on the show because he does a lot of experimenting and
stuff.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and I got to talk to him about this device.
I put a link if you go on Facebook. I just found it from what we did here in Richmond, Virginia, with a pump house, and they actually built the box. It's on the Facebook page. I just put it on there right now, so. It's a pretty cool article. It has pictures of the cage and everything. And they made this box it's on there. I just put it on there and pictures of it and everything.
I'm curious what were they going to do with it once they caught it? Like have coffee? Or...
Asking for lottery numbers?
Yeah, you know? What were they going to do? Interesting.
The thing I want to ask this team about is, okay, you might be able to harness energy. That's fine, but the spirit has a soul. How are you going to capture a soul? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Maybe in a jar like a lightning bug. I don't know. That's a new one. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm being bad.
Okay.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one yet, so.
Now I've lost train of thought. Girls, either one of you are.
That's perfectly fine.
Tasha, Melissa, you got any questions or anything? Because I've lost my question.
Well, okay. Yeah, I can bring up one real quick. And I know I asked this on one show before, but to her, what do you think about autistic kids and being, like, psychic?
Autistic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I've got
autistic children, to my knowledge, are geniuses. Usually, very, very, you know, musical, mathematically, you know, their attention span seems to be, the biggest issue with, autistic children, to my understanding. And I haven't done a lot of research on autism, but, yeah.
Since they're so sensitive to those gifts, are they sensitive to the spiritual higher world?
I think they have tapped into a higher consciousness, absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that. And in tap, I think their vibrations are a little bit higher, you know, than the normal everyday average person who doesn't work on it like me. I work on raising mine.
My son is autistic. He's only 6 years old, but he's like a complete genius, and he picks up on stuff all the time. Especially
you'll find that. That's kind of like you know, they adapt, and other senses are heightened. Sort of like. We're seeing a lot more blind people who are able to echolocate. You know, they develop a part of their frontal lobe that's similar to how a dolphin does it, you know, and they're able to see, you know, in their mind's eye or however the images as if they had eyes, you know. So, yeah, I do believe that, different. I don't even know what word to use here. I do believe that they they enhance other senses and other parts of the brain, mm-hmm. you know, to compensate for what society, I guess society doesn't consider normal. And what is normal?
Yeah.
You know,
what is normal? Exactly.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely, they've been proven to be geniuses, all of them. You know, Tesla, they say Nikola Tesla was severely ADD, and look what he did, you know.
Exactly.
I think, you know, most of our geniuses that are on record had some sort of what is considered to be a mental problem, and
mm-hmm.
yet they are pretty much our Nobel Peace Prize winners, you know, for technology and all these other things. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, and the
yeah,
fact,
I often wonder if schizophrenic, you know, people who are labeled schizophrenic aren't gifted. You know, who's to say that they really aren't hearing someone talk to them, you know? Not all of them, of course.
I've researched that.
Yeah, that brings up the good point. You know, when you go to some of these sanatoriums, haunted locations, where they did horrific experiments on these people that so-called talk to the devil or whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, and back then, paranormal was taboo, right?
Right.
And so.
Right.
I'm wondering, you know, a lot of these people that were committed to these insane asylums were not really mentally ill. They had psychic abilities, and people just
Absolutely.
Thought they were nuts because they were talking to spirits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And weren't, you know, resources are so available now. You know, there's so many support groups, especially on Facebook, for people who feel, I mean, my room, one I have is called Spiritual Awakenings and Awareness and Support. So anyone who has questions, you know, like this has happened to me, they are more than welcome to come there. It is a very no drama room. We have several people in there who have gone through what we call the awakening and are still going through the awakening and have had many symptoms from this. And you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of the people come in there and they tell their symptoms or what they're going through, and they find out that they're going through the same things that we are all going through. And it's so fulfilling to give them that peace. Of course, we're not medical doctors. You know, we don't diagnose anyone. We just tell them, hey, I went through the same thing. This is what I did, and this is what worked for me. You know, try it. And it's just been amazing, you know, the level of help we've provided, you know, for free because we give a shit, you know. So because people do think they're crazy. I thought I was crazy for a very long time going through some of this stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. I didn't have anybody to talk to. You know, I come from a very religious family, and they weren't trying to hear it. You know, I was possessed, you know, to them. So, you know, I got... you know, shunned pretty much and just stopped talking about it to them. And I didn't have anybody to talk to about it. So I got much older, you know, and found like-minded individuals to talk to about. And it's been then from then on that I've been able to grow and really enhance everything. So, you know, thank you guys too for reaching out. Thank you for having the show and raising awareness and having guests to tell their stories, you know, because you never know, there might be one person out there that's going through the exact same thing that hears one of you guys talk or, you know, and goes, oh, my gosh, you know, this is exactly what I'm going through. And, you know, so bravo, bravo.
Yes, that's our point.
Yeah, and the fact it's also a great opportunity for people in the paranormal field to talk and share stories like we do on the radio. It's
mm-hmm.
kind of, I look at it like a two-hour education course in paranormal, a way to network, a way to talk to people
sure.
across our country and make new connections, and because it's all about networking,
mm-hmm.
You know.
It is.
It is. Because I'm
Unity.
One of these people. Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm not a closed-minded founder on my team that if I have a case and I'm not understanding something or it's something I've never handled before, I don't try to be mm-hmm. the hero and try to figure it out. I start hitting up people that may have knowledge. You know, I hit up all kinds of people. I get a tactic force together, per se, to figure out what the heck's going on so that I can help these people. And that's what it's all about. The bottom line for all of us that are in it
mm-hmm.
is we, like Sasha said, we want to help people, you know, because there's not there's not a lot of people that will listen to these people's stories. Now, yeah, you have to weed out the kooky ones and the ones
mm-hmm.
that may be seeing things because they're on lots of prescription medicine, but
they're attention seekers. We've run into a lot of cases recently where they've been using these silly cell phone apps or something, and faking a lot of their evidence that they've presented to us. And it is, I guess they feel empowered by having a paranormal team in their home, like their neighbors think they're cool or something. I don't know, you know, and a lot of attention seekers too.
Well, that, and to go back to what we were talking about earlier as far as residentials, you know, there's been times that I've been called and the client, they're at their breaking point, you know, because something crazy happened in their home and they're hysterical. Now,
mm-hmm.
on those particular calls, which doesn't happen all the time, but when I do get a call like that, especially if they have children in the home, I'll go over there. I'll call a couple team members because I never go alone, especially in someone's house I don't know.
Right.
But I'll get a couple people together, and we'll go over there, and basically my goal, and you know, and they want you to stop it right then. They want you to wave the magical wand and make
mm-hmm.
it all go away.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to, basically my first step in those situations, I have to calm them down. I have to calm them down, get the house
yeah.
settled, get the energy settled, you know, because their fear is so sky high that these things are feeding off of them. And then I'll give them a little peace of mind depending on the person. If they're a very religious person, I'll tell them to get out their Bible
mm-hmm.
and read a couple scriptures or do this or do that. But I'll give them some things to do that night to kind of get their mind off of what's going on. And then I'll explain to them, look, we'll do the process. We'll interview you. We'll do what you know, if you have anything, go on. Just call me. But, yeah, it's
right,
kind of like
right.
a counseling. You have to kind of counsel them a lot of times.
It is. I want to make one comment real quick. I know we're running out of time. But this is something I don't know, you know, how many other teams do this, but this is something we always try to cover in our cleansing. And I think this is why we've had the majority of success that we've had. A lot of people just really don't think, you know, and you just brought up a valid point. If they're very Christian, then, you know, bringing the Bible out, that helps soothe them, you know, because that's their belief system. However,
mm-hmm.
we, you know, this is kind of for all the new teams out there. Don't just do a cleansing, you know, or an exorcism. You have to address, you know, you got to remember that, especially here in Kentucky, we're in Cherokee territory. You know, you have to address the Native Americans. You have to address the religions of the ancients, because if the spirit in your home didn't believe in God, then doing an exorcism is pointless. You have to address every belief system there is, and hope with every fiber in your being that you're catching one of, you know, the belief systems that spirit believes in during life, and that will you know, do what it's supposed to do. You know, so not only do you know, when we cleanse, we do native, we do witchcraft, we do shamanistic stuff, we do native, we do about 8 different belief systems, voodoo, hoodoo, we do it all. And, you know, so just kind of keep that in mind, new teams out there, you know.
That's a valid point. And also for new teams out there, just saging, you know, just doing those kind of things, even when you sage, it's not the sage itself. Because a lot of people think, okay, well, if I light this sage up and burn it, it'll make everything go away. What I was going to say was it's the intent behind the cleanse.
Absolutely.
And whatever you do.
Absolutely.
So people need to understand that. We had a team call us, or not a team, we had a client call us that had a team in there, and the team was newer, and the poor team didn't know how to cleanse correctly. They poured sea salt all around the perimeter of the home, didn't burn sage, didn't do any of that. They just dropped the salt.
Wow.
And I said,
then they could have very easily trapped the thing in the head.
They did. That was the issue. The lady was still having the activity picked up because the team had been there. They dropped the salt everywhere. And the activity was even crazier. And I explained to the woman, I said, well, the sea salt is more of a sealant. That's what you do at the end of a cleansing to help seal the home up. I said, they basically
after
trapped
her, he pushed everything out. Yes. Oh, wow. So they did that first. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
You've got to work from the inside out and then seal it.
And that's the thing about these newer teams, and I'm kind of glad, thank God, that they're kind of weeding themselves out because of the simple fact is they may have not tried to do it on purpose. It's just the fact they didn't know what they were doing. They should have had no business
doing
it.
Exactly. They're not educated. They're not educated. They're going off. They might see on TV or what another uneducated team told them to do, you know, and they really think they're helping some of them. You know, and they're actually making it worse, and they're just really, you know, like when I say I use the term ignorant, they just don't know any better. And yeah, and these people, when they call in a team, they are putting their faith that this team knows what they're doing, you know. And yeah, there's a lot of paranormal investigators out there right now. They're uber frustrated with the lack of knowledge that's going on because it's making us all look bad.
Right. Well, we're down to the last 3 minutes of the show, so I'm going to give an opportunity for you, Michelle, to throw out any websites or anything that you want to throw out there for people to get a hold of you or whatever it might be.
Okay, great. My name is Michelle Fitzpatrick. You can find me on Facebook. There's a lot of Michelle Fitzpatrick, so do Louisville, Kentucky. I have a page on Facebook where it's called Spiritual Awakenings, Spiritual Awakenings and Awareness Support. It is a free page on Facebook where we do offer support, and we do give free annual, very, very in-depth readings. We have several gifted people within the room that do readings if you'd like to join that. My website is under construction right now because it's being converted into a reader page, paid reading page for star charts, runes, tarot, pendulum, anything you can think of with divinity. And it is www.kprt.org. My team on Facebook is Kentucky Paranormal Research Team. You can find us there if you have an issue or you need to reach out or if you need help. We will travel. We are based out of Louisville, Kentucky, but we will travel to Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Missouri is about as far as we go. But other than that, I appreciate you having me. It's been fun. Hopefully, maybe on down the line, I can come back and tell you part two of my little entity if I can get rid of it.
Oh, definitely. We'd love to have you back on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Melissa, Tasha, you have anything to say to the guests?
Oh, I'm really enjoying talking to her today. I learned a lot of stuff.
My volume.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hey, Lexington, I'm sorry. Was it Melissa?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Let's friend each other, because I'm out that way all the time. And
I have a little audio left, not much.
Oh, I was trying to hear you.
I said that Tasha's the one in Lexington.
Yeah. All right, guys. I've super, super enjoyed this. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I wish you guys the best and brightest of blessings and much love, okay?
All right. Peace out. Love and light.
All right. Good night, guys. Love and light.
Good night.
Bye.
What a great guest.
That was good. Yeah, she was saying something to me, but I couldn't hear what she said. She said Melissa, and then I couldn't hear what she said.
See, I'm going to audio, too. I don't know what's going on tonight. It's a theory.
Yeah, I couldn't hear what she said. I was like, oh, my gosh. It's like my fan went out or something.
She said, she got her names crossed. She was directing towards Tasha because Tasha's in Lexington.
Okay.
She said, you know, that they're close and, you know, she comes that way all the time. So,
wow.
Yeah. But you're not too far either. You're in Virginia, so you're cool too.
Not too far away.
Right. Well, Tasha, the last thing I wanted to ask, I didn't want to ask while we had our guest on, did you enjoy Scarefest?
Yes and no. I'm serious. Okay, I like, you know, setting up my own booth and stuff, but the crowd that came through there, the whole weekend, let me just say, it sucked. Compared to last year, found out why Zach Bagans can't come back to Scarefest. Because I know why I'm saying this anyway. He last year, he was being a total douchebag to all the customers coming in, you know, autographs and getting all that. They banned him from Scarefest. Oh, you didn't hear from me.
Wow.
What
happened to Ghost Hunters? Ghost Hunters hasn't been on the air lately. What happened?
Don't care.
They're from what I've heard from the inside, because Matt is friends with Dave and Bruce Tango.
How long met Dave?
They got rid of Adam. They got rid of Bruni. I can't remember her. For Amy, they got rid of
Amy,
her.
She had a baby.
Well, she came back on the show after the baby, but they released them from the show. They're no longer the show, so they're trying to figure that out. I don't even know if they're coming back. But anyway, great show tonight. Next week we have I don't even know if I can pronounce her name correctly. Chase Collette. I hope that was not a bad
I don't know.
She does a lot of stuff with UFOs and whatnot. So we're gonna talk to her, and we'll throw in some paranormal questions as well, because it's all one big
hodgepodge
of stuff. Yeah. So that's what we have next Tuesday. Thank you to Tasha and Melissa for joining me tonight. It's always a pleasure talking to you two girls. And Tasha,
we enjoy talking to everybody too.
And Tasha, try to start feeling better. I know you had some issues this weekend physically. You kind of scared me.
Yeah.
I saw some of the posts. But hopefully you.
I made it.
Yeah.
I made it to the show.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll start feeling a little bit better. We're going to get out of here. Till next time. Good night, everybody.
Night. I want you, girl.
All right.